Yeah, let us give him some more worship and praise here. Let us give him some more worship because he first loved us. He first loved us. He first loved us. He first loved us. Purchased our salvation and Mount Calvary. We love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. We worship him tonight. We glorify him tonight, Lord. And we thank you because you are such a great God. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness toward us. We will continue to worship you and glorify you because there is none like unto you. Glorious in holiness, faithful in praises, doing wonders. There is none like unto you, Lord. Hallelujah to our God. Hallelujah to the Son of God. Thou art God all by yourself, and we worship you and glorify you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are our Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. And we will worship you. And we bow down before you. But thou art God. And beside you there is none other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Your name,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I would just like to, before I pray here, I would just like to use this moment, this solemn moment before the Lord, as I read a portion of Scripture, and then we will offer up a special prayer for Israel at this time, before we go any further. Let us, if you have your Bibles with you, let us turn to Psalms 122. Psalms 122, and then we will offer up a prayer at this time for Israel. Psalms 122. I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribe go up, the tribe of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palace. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good.
Amen.
I'm sure by now we are all aware of what is taking place in Jerusalem, and we are instructed by the word of God as a people that we should pray for the peace of Israel. The Lord said to Abraham long ago, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that cursed you. And And that message carried through to Jacob and the children of Israel. And as a church, we have the responsibility to take what the Lord said and make it meaningful to us. Amen. And speak it back to, and speak it back to Him. And that is what we're doing tonight as a church, the Apostolic Church in America. Having seen what is taking place in Jerusalem, in Israel, take on the responsibility of bringing this matter before God as He asks us to do. So let us unite our hearts at this moment as we pray to the Lord on behalf of Israel. Father, tonight we are obedient to your word.
Amen.
You ask us to pray for the peace of Israel, the peace of Jerusalem. Right now, your people are under attack from the hands of the enemy. And you know that, Lord. You sit high and you look low. You see what is taking place right now. How many mothers are suffering because they have lost their children. They have lost their husband. How many wives are in great despair at this time who have lost their loved ones? The people of the country is in mourning, Lord God, because of the loss of over 1,000 people from Israel. Lord, tonight we take on the responsibility and we are bringing this situation before you, Lord. We are asking you tonight to lift up a standard against the enemy, to defeat the enemy that attacked your people. We are looking to you tonight, Lord God, that there will be a mighty move of God. Now, you have accomplished victory to Moses. You have accomplished victory to Aaron. You have accomplished victory to David. You have accomplished victory to Gideon. Lord, tonight we are looking to you for your same people that you will accomplish victory for them again. God, we thank you that you have the ability, you have the know it all, and you have all the equipment that is necessary for this victory. We look to you, Father, and we join with the other churches all over the world who are praying at this time for the peace of Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem. God, you promised to deliver them. You promised to prosper them. You promised to strengthen them. Now is the time, Lord, and we are standing with them tonight. And we are asking you to defeat the enemy around them so that they can live in peace and harmony and give you glory. We know that there are different people who make up that company tonight. We know that Muslims are living in Israel. We know that Jews are predominantly living in Israel. We know that Christians are there. And there are people who are not connected to none of these religions who are living there as well. And that creates friction within itself, Lord. But Father, we look to you that you will protect your own. You know it then that belongs to you. And we pray tonight for their victory. We pray tonight for their victory in the name of Jesus. My soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let the help of Israel tonight be in the name of the Lord. We thank you, and we worship you as we wait upon you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Not only that we pray this corporate prayer tonight, but I'm asking the brethren, whenever time you enter in with the Lord, each day or each night, remember to pray for the peace of Israel.
It is
instructed to us by the Lord that we should pray for them. Amen. Bless the Lord. We thank Sister Bernice very much for taking us out in that time of worship and praise. And we give God the glory that is due unto. Shall we just give him a little bit more here? Because I am sensing the presence of the Lord. Let us open our, let us just lift up our voice and we worship him.
Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shulite, and Zophar the Naamite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in the house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keza, and the name of the third Keren Hakok. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Praise the Lord. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for reading to us this portion of God's word. And I must commend you, my sister. I mean, ever since we started the book of Job, which is quite a long time, you have read nights and nights and nights again for us. And we thank you for that effort. And we trust that the Lord will help you, that you will continue to do more work in that year of fall that we go forward. Thank you very much again.
Yeah,
and so, bless the Lord. And so I'd like to say a very, very warm welcome to all of us tonight who are here. We're here for another Bible studies tonight. Tonight is what is considered the last night that we're going to, as a study, look on the book of Job. There might be something that you'd like to contribute to this service tonight, in the sense of something that maybe the Lord has revealed to you and you'd like to share it among the brethren. You certainly will get the chance to do that in a little while, but we trust that God has blessed you enough through the book of Job that there are things that you remember that will help you and me in our Christian walk to glorify the Lord more. And so I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. And if you are here for the first time, I want to say a very special welcome to you for being in Bible studies tonight. Certainly, we have been looking at the book of Job, as I have said, for quite a while. And it would be nice tonight for you to hear even the last presentation of what we are saying on Job. So I'm going to ask you please to wait on us as we go through the presentation tonight. And I'm sure that there will be something said that the Holy Ghost is going to use to bless you if you are here with us for the first time tonight. But if you are not here for the first time, the Lord bless you nonetheless. And we are glad to have all of us here. I must also say a very big thanks to all of you who share your telephones with family members each time that we come to do Bible studies. Because I will be the first to admit that it is not all the time that you grab your Bible and you spend a long time in there by yourself meditating. It's not, you do it, but you don't do it all the time. So when we come together to have Bible studies, it worked a while for you to have your Bible and follow the different things that is going to be said in a Bible study, because you never can tell. It is just one word. It is just one word, one statement that the Lord will introduce, and then the Holy Ghost will take it over and cause it to start to grow in your heart. That word, the Holy Spirit, will water it in your heart so that it start to grow, so that you start to have a desire for God. And you will look back and you will say, the first time I heard this, or the time when this really have an impact on my heart, was when I listened in Bible studies. The Holy Ghost want to use something in order to create an awareness in your heart as far as Jesus is concerned. And so that's why it is so vital when we have all Bible studies, you have your Bibles to follow us whenever time we make a statement or read from a passage. So we thank you very much for being here tonight. This is the final night of the presentation coming from Job. And I trust that the journey that we have been had, you have enjoyed yourself. And I certainly learned a lot from you and from Job. And I give God the glory for all of this. Now, as I said to you before, we are going to ask you for your comment. But before that, let me just bring our thoughts back to something and then elaborate on a section here in Job 42. And that is, I am going to go to Job 19 to read something here to us. Listen carefully, saints. Listen carefully here. And then we go back to 42. Job chapter 19, reading from verse 13 to 21. Listen to what it says. He had put my brethren far from me, and my acquaintance are very estranged from me. My kinfolks have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house and my maid count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. Though I entreat for the children's sake of my own body, yea, young children despise me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I love are turned against me. My bones cleave to my skin, and to my bones cleave to my skin, and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Last verse. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me. O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. That is what Job said in chapter 19. As he was there in a rather lonely state, everyone turned their backs upon him, including his own family. He described his breath as one that caused his wife not to want to come close to him. He described himself in this condition as mere skin and bone. He was lonely. He was being withered away. Yet he was alive. And I read this, church. I read this portion here to remind you of who we are. We have not changed. We are the very same. The very same people. Today, somebody find themselves in the position as you. Friends would walk away from them. Family members, in some cases, would desert them. Loneliness will creep in to their circumstances. But this is not necessarily the end of the road. The psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The comfort of Job in this condition was his God. Was his God. And so I read that portion to point out something here in this Job 42. And here is where we had stopped the last time. We'll stop on verse 10. And so I'm going to read verse 10 and verse 11 in Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. But here is the verse that caused me to read that portion from chapter 19. Here is the verse, verse 11. Then came there unto him, listen to this carefully, church, all his brethren, remember what we have just read. His brethren walked away from him. And all his sisters, his family members, and all they that had been his acquaintances before, people who were friendly with him before he took sick, all of these friends he had, when he took sick and in that state that he was in, they walked away from him. And did eat bread with him in his house. Huh? And they bemoaned him and comfort him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an ear of gold, earring of gold. Can you imagine that? What a difference a change makes. What a difference a change makes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can I say something, Pastor?
Yes, my sister, please go ahead.
Thing that I don't know if I'm right. Proverbs 13:22 says, "The wealth of the unjust is laid up for the righteous." Does that fit into that?
The passage is extremely true. It is extremely true. The passage you have read is extremely true. But in a case like this, It is what Job has received at this time is coming straight from the Lord. But that passage that you read is true. Many, many people have received from God at the hand of the oppressors wealth untold. God has transferred that to a people of a humble disposition. God did that before, and God is still doing that today. And when you think that, I believe where your thought fits here, Sister Bennett, is the fact that each of them, as the word tells us, brought an offering unto our God's servant.
Yes, sir.
That brought earring of gold and a piece of money, the Bible just tells us. So those who walk away from him and disregarded him in chapter 19, as a result of the work, as a result of the mercy, as a result of the ability of God to change one's position, we find that these friends came back and these relatives came back to God's servant. And what a reunion it was. What a reunion it was. Because God has turned his captivity away from him. And I would like to say something on this same verse 10 here. And I will say this and then we go to the to the telephones. Verse 10 is something you cannot overlook. Let's look at it again. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. But the point that I am trying to make here, the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When did it happen? When he prayed for his friends. I wonder tonight, how many people are holding back their own progress by not willing to forgive? How many people today, even in Christendom, who are holding back their own development because they refuse to forgive? You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6? Let's read it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Yes. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Listen to what Jesus said. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Many people progress is tied into their ability to forgive men who trespass against them. The word tells us that here. If we refuse to forgive men their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us of our trespasses. The word said here, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. In other words, over all this time, Job's friends have been needling him and telling him how he did things wrong before God. And Job became so annoyed of hearing this over and over again. And he knew within his heart that he did not any such thing. And he could pull out on them because they accused him wrongfully. But he prayed for them under the instruction of God. And the word said it was not until when he prayed for his friends that his captivity was turned away. And God gave him twice as much as he had before. What a thought. And as a result of that, the friends that forsake him in 19, they all came back to him, bringing gifts of gold, hallelujah, to the servant of God, because God has turned his captivity and blessed him again. And the word said it was rooted in the fact that he prayed for his enemy. My brothers and sisters in the church, I trust that of all the things that we have received from the book of Job, this particular one here stands out to us tonight. Because we are now seeing the Our Father prayer that Jesus prayed, how powerful it really is. It means that we can hold our brother. We can hold the progress of our brother. And in holding the progress of our brother, we are holding our own progress. But in releasing our brother, in releasing our sister, we release ourselves. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. You know, in the prayer just not too long, I quoted where the psalmist said, my soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken. And we are escape. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Job here can claim that his soul is escape out of the snare of the fowler. Long about Pastor Fiani and I. In time past, had I remember a discussion, and we were looking back in Jamaica's life, and we were saying there are some birds that we do catch alive, and we're talking about setting something called a colobon, I think it's called something that you put up in an ambush. And you put a few seeds underneath it and barely leave it open. And that innocent bird, searching for food, goes under there, seeing the seed from a distance, goes under there and pick the wrong food that is tied, the wrong seed that is tied to the trunk. And in doing so, the whole thing fell down and covered that bird. And that bird stayed there under that trap until whoever it is sets the trap, goes there and finds a live bird under this trap. And of course, you don't have to ask me what they do with it afterwards. That is how the enemy set traps for us and want to devour us. But our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Jesus flies the trap. Hallelujah. He flies the trap and he sets us free. Hallelujah. He flies the trap and he sets Job free. As a result of that, God was able to bless Job with twice as many possessions as he had before. Church, let this thought rivet in us that God is a great deliverer. And if he delivers Job, he can deliver you. He can deliver me. Amen. I am going to come back with a few thoughts as we close off tonight on Job. But I'd like to allow you tonight to give your thought on what we have learned over this period of time and how it impacts you and your life, and what can we do with this information going forward. How did the Lord reveal something to you, and what it is? Who will be the first?
Mr. Henry here.
Yes, my sister.
So, I'm looking in the beginning of 42, from 1 to 3, where Job is confessing the revelation that has come to him concerning who God is. And that also is carried down into verse 8. I'm jumping those other verses because I'm seeing where therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job. God advising Job's friends to take these to Job for Job to offer burnt offering. I don't know if I'm mistaken, I might be mistaken here, but was Job given a priestly duty here?
He has become a mediator. God has positioned him now to be a mediator. Job's three friends need somebody to speak on their behalf because they have sinned against God miserably. And in order for God not to punish them, God told them what they needs to do. So God had appointed Job to be a mediator between him and Job's three friends. Because God is merciful. This is one of the things that we need to see here. That God is a merciful God. And God wants not only to restore Job, but God wants to restore the three friends as well. He wants to restore fellowship between himself and the three friends. And he wants this fellowship to restore between Job's three friends and Job. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And therefore, God told the three friends, look, you need to take these to Job and offer them up. And then ask Job to pray. Now, I want to say to all of us here, here is where pride could also affect our progress. Because the three friends, one or three of them, could easily say, look, you are not in a position to pray for us. Because you have committed sin. If they maintain their thought, their original thought, you have committed sin that caused you to be so sick. You are not in a position to pray for us. They could take that position. They could say that. But no, they discover that there's a greater force at work here. And what God said, God must be right. So God did not even tell Job to tell them. God told them directly that they have not spoken about him in the way in which they should. Therefore, they need to repent. And the way to repent is to offer sacrifice and to allow the same man Job, whom they continue to accuse, to pray to him, God, on their behalf. And in this position, they humbled themselves. They humbled themselves before Job, and Job prayed, and the whole thing was changed. So my sister, God appointed Job as a mediator between his enemy and God himself. It is like the Lord Jesus. When you think of it, Paul reminded us, as he wrote to Timothy, that there is one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus came, and the word tells us, even while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. And not only that he died for us, the word said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And as a result of that, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah! As a result of the mediator that comes. So to answer your question, Sister Judy, God appointed Job as a mediator between those who affected Job, who were enemy to Job up until now, so that the whole animosity, the whole accusation, the whole misunderstanding would pass away because somebody was able to stand in the gap. And that was God's servant, Job. I trust that answers your question, my sister.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bless the Lord. Is there somebody else who'd like to share your thoughts on Job so far?
Verse 7, verse 8, we notice here that Job is called a servant.
Yes.
It takes us back to our service on Sunday.
Exactly right.
Humility. Call himself a servant of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And here we find God now is calling Job a servant.
Yes.
Because
yes.
of what he has done. He, in humility, prayed for his friends. And by doing that, we find that God is now telling his friends what they should do after Job had prayed. They know how to offer gifts to Job.
Yes.
As God's servant. It's a wonderful thing when you look back at chapter 1 of Job and hear the description of God giving to Job, the devil, Satan, about Job. What a description. And now, coming to the end of the book of Job, here we find that God is calling Job a servant.
Yes, sir.
Because of his humility. Because of his humility.
Yes,
he was
sir.
Able to pray now for his friends, forgiving them for the things that they have said and done. And now God is telling them to offer Job gifts. What gifts? Oh, what wonderful gifts.
Oh, Lord.
In abundance.
Oh, Lord.
And so this is a lesson for us as servants of God. God will honor us and offer us gifts. He said, no good things will I withhold from them that walk uprightly.
Hallelujah. Thank you, sir.
Yes. And here, based on the message that we heard on Sunday about Jude in humility calling himself a servant for the Lord Jesus, not a brother, but a servant.
No.
And here, you look at the description of Job in chapter 1 of Job by God.
Yes.
And now, the end of the book, again, now we find that God is calling Job his servant several times.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Because Job prayed for his friends.
Yes.
Yes, and what gifts were showered upon him. And what fellowship he had in his house. With the people. Isn't that wonderful, friend? So it's quite a humbling thing and an honor to us as children of God, to be servants of God. And that's what the message was all about on Sunday.
Yes. Yes,
servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Job is now described as a servant of God.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing it is.
Yes, sir.
I would stop at that and give someone else another chance to say something, Pastor.
Thank you very much, Pastor, because you have summed up this thing perfectly well. Because he maintained that position before God all along. And God saw his heart. And God knew that he is serving him willingly.
Amen.
And look how many times that the Lord used the word servant as he described Job.
Yes.
Quite a number of times here. He described him. In other words, God is boasting about his servant. God, there's something I'm going to say not too long from now that will support this. That will support this thought. That God will please with his servant. And God said, look, I want you to take things to him. And I want you to ask him to pray for you. Can you imagine that? The mediator. At this point, I will talk to him and not you. Not until when he prayed for you. That is how important Job was to the Lord. And Job did accordingly. And not only that, Job, three friends were freed. Freed. But Job himself was freed also. His captivity was turned away. Say the word. And church, it is a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It is a wonderful thing to know that we are in the hands of our Redeemer. And our friend. Oh my God. Just to think of it alone is satisfying. Not to mention the benefits that comes from it. Thank you for that thought, Pastor. Is there somebody else who would like to share the thoughts with us?
Yes, Sophia.
Yes, it's Sophia.
I just wanted to just slip over into another little portion of scripture in St. Matthew 12 and verse 18. And the reason is, it's just to mention and to see how God really loves his servant. And verse 18 says, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen. And listen to how he addresses whomever he calls servant, whomever serves him. He said, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased.
Yes.
I will put my spirit upon him,
and
he shall show judgment to the Gentiles.
Yes.
I think this is such a beautiful reference here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 18.
Yes.
As God mentioned, whoever is his servant,
yes,
he does the same thing for his servant, he said. And I read again, behold my servant, whom I have chosen.
Yes.
My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased.
Yes.
I will put my spirit upon him, his servant, and he, his servant, shall show judgment to the Gentiles.
Yes. Bless the Lord for that thought. As much as primarily that was directed towards the Lord Jesus, that
I know.
if you broaden it, if you broaden it, the same principle applies to God's people. The same principle applies to God's people across the board. You see, and so God delights in his people. God delights in his servants. And as I said Sunday, a servant needs to protect the property of his master.
Amen.
And here, all of us are servants of God who are called Christians. We need to protect the gospel. We need to protect the word of God. We need to make sure that we hold up this word of God so that the world can see it. It is God's property, and we need to hold it up before the world so that God can see it.
I just want to finish here. We have to just remember, as he said, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you.
Chosen you. Yes.
To be my servant.
Yes. And how wonderful it is to be a servant of God. A servant of God. It takes humility. Hallelujah. And he is seeing this in us. He's seeing this in Job. He has seen that in the Lord Jesus, who said, I do always those things that please him.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, church. Yeah. We are learning so much as we go on. And to God be the glory for it. Yes, please. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I have 2 points, please.
You
read in chapter 19 quite a few verses, and you actually stopped at 20. But verse 21 said, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. This is what Job said when the old paragraph that you read was how everybody turned against him.
Yes.
Friends, children, everybody. And then in 42, you come back to read. Let me read the verse that I want you to read. But 10 and 11. Yes. 10 and 11.
Yes.
42. 10 and 11. Okay. 11 said, listen to this now. Then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and all they that had been his acquaintances before. So all the people that previously had turned away from him, they have now come back to him.
Yes.
Talk with him, to comfort him. He said they did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him. Remember you were asking for comfort before, pity before?
He got pity at me. Yes, a pity at me, he said. Yes.
And he got none, but now they are back now comforting him. And they said, over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Job had said the Lord had touched him. And they are acknowledging now that all the evil that came upon Job was from the Lord. But then in the same, one of scripture came to me while you was reading the first time that says, when a man's ways please the Lord.
Please
his enemies to be at peace with him. Nobody would even want to go near to Job. And then in 42, this one line here that says, the Lord, I'm thinking that all the things that even when it was said that Job messed up a little bit, but in this verse here, it says, verse 9, the Lord also accepted Job. Accepted Job.
Yes.
And that's a big thing when, I mean, God told him to pray for his friend.
Yes.
The Lord accepted Job. So,
yes. You
know, Job had right standing with the Lord. And it goes right back to the beginning when God said about Job, my servant Job.
Yes.
Fear the Lord.
Yes.
He had integrity. He eschewed evil and all of that stuff. So God, you know, God knows. God knows his people. And God knew Job. And he knew, I mean, whatever he went through, that he would come forth as pure gold. And that is what God is doing in our lives. No matter what we are going through, we're going to supposed to come through as pure gold, through our trials and our testings. And we just have to look to God, to our Redeemer, for we know that he loves us and cares for us.
That's right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sister Barbara. Thank you very much for observing those areas, critical passages in the book of Job, and especially on this final night here tonight, to know that things, God can turn things around. God can turn, you know, I'm hoping that this testimony is earworthy, but it was earworthy when I first heard it, so I think I can repeat it. I was in St. Anne's Bay in one of those street meetings, evangelical meetings in one of those street corners. And I remember one of our sisters testifying. I think I was hearing her testifying for the first time. She was a young convert. And her testimony goes like this. There was a time when nobody wanted to pay me any mind. There was a time when everybody passed me by. Nobody cared about me. Nobody was interested in me in any shape or form. But now, since I accept the Lord as Savior, the man them a lose ear over me. No. I am putting it in verse, in words that she uses. They are losing ear over me. Meaning, everywhere I go, I hear men say, he's saying, I don't know if you heard that language coming over your phone. I mean, I am only repeating what you said. She said that they are losing air. You know, when you try to pump your tire, the pump off of the thing, then a little bit of air come out of it. She said they are losing ear over her because of how the Lord clean her up and turn her around. I am seeing Job here now. I am seeing Job here now. And how the Lord clean him up. And how the Lord, because I remember, you know, he said that the flesh, his flesh was hanging. He was mere flesh and bone. Job reached a point where he stretched out his hand and maggots were dropping off his hand to the ground. That is where he had reached. He said in that case, his wife did not pay him any mind because his wife could not stand the odor coming from him. That is where the brother was. But now the Lord cleaned him up. The Lord clean him up. The Lord turn him around. The Lord gave back Job everything he had before and more, including his own physical strength. And he was now in a place where, as Sister Barbara pointed out, that his friends and families came and dined with him. They ate with him. They rejoiced with him. They comforted him. He was looking like the man before. Why? Because God cleaned him up. God turned things around for him. Hallelujah. So I just remember the testimony of the young lady on the street that night. Thank you. Where is Pastor?
He had passed the test. Now he was being tested by the devil. And now that he has passed the test, God clean him up. And everybody wants to see my brother sister testified and said, now that God has made her a new creature, everybody now seen her.
Yes.
She now looks clean. And
I'm losing hearing over her.
In Christ, all things pass away. And all things come.
Yes. This is what God we talk about, sir.
Yes.
This is the God we serve, sir. This is the God. He's a God of a second chance. And in some of us cases, he's a God of a third chance. And who to tell, a fourth chance too. You see? That is the God we serve. And we need to recognize him of such. Bless the Lord.
Pastor,
yes.
One more thing. As you mentioned about skin and bones there, when Job was just like that, skin and bones don't speak. He was speaking from his soul. It just came to me that we are spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
In that situation there. So although the outer man was totally
destroyed, the inner man. Yes, sir. Yes, my sister.
That was what was sustaining him, and that was where he was speaking from. That's where he was talking to everything from, the inner man.
Yes, my sister. That's right. That's right, Sister B. Hallelujah. Is there somebody else who would like to make another comment before I just recap a few things here? And I'd like to do it before 10 minutes, before 20 minutes, before 10 minutes left in our time. Is there somebody else? All right, let me move on. So as we look back on Job, we will ask ourselves a few questions. And one of them is, does patience has value? Does patience has value? And in the life of Job, as we see, we have to say yes, it does.
Amen.
We have to, as Christians, this is one of the things that, this is one of the fruit of the Spirit that we are told that we have, that we should have. Patience. It has value. And even Peter described it as a virtue. We need to realize that we must wait patiently on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. And that is the message I'd like to convey to all of the believers tonight. Let's exercise patience before God. Because regardless of what the situation or circumstances are, God, within his own time, God is a God of timing. God don't do anything haphazardly. God works with time. When the fullness of his time comes, he will change things around. A lot of people describe Job as a prophet. And for me, to regard Job as a prophet, one of his strongest prophetical utterances is when he said, I will wait until my change come. And of course, if you follow the context in which it was given there in Job 14, you're going to discover that it might be speaking about the resurrection. It might be a discussion, a thought for the resurrection. But it is only the Lord who knew that he was actually speaking about himself in a prophetic way. And he waited without violating God's law, so to speak. And here we have in 42, Sister Fiani wanted us to reach here a long time, but we finally reach here. Here we have in 42, where God turned his captivity. The patient does have value. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I don't know, I'm not speaking to somebody tonight. I'm inviting you to wait upon the Lord. He is going to come through. That is one thing I'd like us to take away from the book of Job. The second thing is the importance of controlling our tongue. The importance of controlling our tongue. Job 42. Listen to what Job 42 said to us. Verse 3. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I know not. He said, I have spoken things that I didn't understand. I have spoken things I did not understand. The word tells us that all our conversations are in heaven. Everything that we say, privately or publicly, they go through the exchange in heaven. So the Lord knows exactly what. In fact, the Lord knows our thoughts. Pastor Fiani pointed this out in one of the studies from Job here. That the Lord knows our thoughts before we utter them. So we need to know that we can say things before God that is not right, and God is displeased of. Like what Job discovered that he had said, why he said in verse 3 of chapter 42, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? He is speaking of himself based on what God had said to him in chapter 38. Who are you who hideth my counsel? God said unto him. Those were the first set of words that God used to him down there. And now he realized that he, in fact, had said things that was not right in the presence of the Lord. Therefore, in verse 3, he said, I beseech thee, and I will speak. The Lord said that. That is what the Lord said. In verse 5, yes, verse 5 is where I should have gone. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes have seen thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes as a result of the things that I have said concerning the Lord. So how important it is that we control our tongue. That's point number 2 that we should take away from this, from Job. And point number 3, the awareness of God's power. The awareness of God's, say, universal power. Because the way in which God described it, his power is manifested universally. So we can easily say the awareness of God's universal power. And that is where Job learned of God from chapter 38 to chapter 41, where God asked Job over 70 questions, all of which Job was not able to answer. None of which he was able to answer. And so here is what Job said in 42 verse 5. I've just read it. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen thee. Based on all these questions that God asked Job, Job here were hoping, his eyes were hoping, he had seen God in through the revelation of God's word. He had seen the power of God demonstrated around him. He has seen God now in a new light. He has seen God who is able to do everything for him, Job, to turn things around. And in this case, at this point, he discovered that all this time, the things that he had been saying, he did not come into the fullness as to who God really is until God started asking the questions. Because it is in God asking him the question that the universal power of God was unfolded to him, Job. His ways, his power. And I believe that this is something that we can take away from this study. God's universal power in the questions that he asked Job was revealed to Job. And God discovered God. And Job discovered God at a different level. And we too have discovered God in the light of all of these questions, that his ways are past finding out. And lastly, God was glorified through Job's suffering.
Amen.
God was glorified through Job's suffering. I tell you what, because it is here in verse 10, especially, that Satan was defeated. It is in verse 10, and I read it again. How many times are we reading this tonight? Verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his three friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Let me tell you the gold. Let me tell you the gold. I'll remind you of the gold of the enemy. It is found in Job chapter 1, 11. Two places I'm going to read. Job chapter 1, 11. The enemy challenged Job and said, Job is not serving you for nothing. If you just take away what Job have, he will curse you to your face. That is what the enemy told God about Job. And then the Lord said, all right, fine. Go ahead. Take away the things that he had. Verse 11 of chapter 1 in Job said, but put forth thy hand now. That is what the enemy is saying. And touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. That is what the enemy said to God. If you just take away the things that he have, he will curse you. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And the result of him going from the presence of the Lord, the end of it is that all of Job's possession were taken away. All of his children were killed. And Job, instead of, as the enemy said, curse God, Job worshiped God. You will find that at the end of chapter 1. So let us flip over to chapter 2, verse 5. The enemy found out that that did not work. He came back to God again. And chapter 2, verse 5, listen to what it says. After the enemy said, look, if you touch the man's skin, if you touch his body, he will curse you to your face. So let's hear what God said in verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5. Put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. The enemy repeats that before the Lord. So if you touch Job in his bone and in his flesh, he will curse you. And we find out now that the goal of the enemy was that Job cursed God, because God's interpretation of Job serving him was wrong. That is what the enemy is saying. Job is not serving you out of a state of love and commitment. Job is serving you for what you give him, for the things that you are giving unto him, for the thing, the position that he had, and all of that. That is the reason why Job is serving you. But if you take all those things away, Job will curse you. The Lord knows the temperament of Job. The Lord knows Job. And I trust to God that the Lord is seeing all of us here in this service in the same way he's seeing Job. That we are not going to bow to the enemy.
Amen.
We will continue to serve God. And so chapter 10 comes into the picture. Verse 10 comes into the picture in a more forcible way. Because here is where the enemy lost. The enemy lost. And God was victorious right here in verse 10. Listen to it again, friends. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. All of these pressure that Job was under all this land, God bring that to an end right here. The pursuit of the enemy comes to an end in verse 10. The God who have the enemy on a leash, pull him in verse 10, and said, you will not do any more harm to my servant. In verse 10, God turned the captivity away from the brother. And having taken the old dragon out of the way, in verse 10, God make way for Job to start to flourish again. And the word started there by saying, 10b, or 10c. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Hallelujah. Job, when you think about it, the word said here in verse 12, that Job had 14,000 sheep. Before that, he had 7,000. It was 7,000 that he had that the enemy destroyed. But now God gave him 14,000. He had six 3,000 camels. Before, he had 3,000 camels. And now God gave him 6,000 camels. Now he had 1,000 yoke of oxen. Before that, he had 500. And a house and 1,000 asses. Before that, he had 500. So God doubled what Job had before in terms of his possession. Read chapter 1, and you will discover the possession that Job had before the enemy destroyed him.
And running over,
my sister. And running over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 10, the enemy reign in Job's life came to an end. God pulled him in. All this time, God had the enemy on a leash. And God said, your time is up. When God tells the enemy that his time is up, his time is up.
Amen.
Come on, church. His time is
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And Pastor, that is what God has done. That was Job before Jesus. But what God has done is send his son to set the captive free. And to set at liberty those that are bruised. And to send the Holy Spirit to heal the broken heart.
My sister, it's exactly right. The enemy tried to behave as if he has tremendous power, but he's only on a leash. God has him in control. God can pull him in and let him out. Pull him in and let him out as he chooses.
Amen.
Pastor, the persecuted church is always asking us pray that God will give them the faith to go through the tests and the trials. And we notice now where the enemy, which is called Satan, a devil, a serpent, a dragon, is lifting up his tail now and attacking the Christians in all different areas of the world today. And we need to pray with them and for them. That God will give them the faith to stand up for righteousness' sake.
Yes, sir.
I much encourage the church to let us learn from this that we need to pray one for another, and especially for those that are being persecuted for righteousness' sake all around the world today.
Yes.
Morning, noon, and the night. And especially now, what has been taking place since the past weekend up until today, we must pray for the children of God.
Sure, sir.
Yes.
Sure. So let me say this to the church. Thank you, Pastor Fiani. Let me say this to the church. Hold on. Let patience produce its value in our life. Let patience produce its value in our life. As we wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. Not only that the Lord blessed Job again with all of these, but the Lord gave Job back his 10 children. The Lord gave Job back his 10 children. And you might ask me, was there a second wife? I want to tell you tonight, the Bible is silent on it. There was no second wife. It was the first wife came back to Job, despite the difficulty during Job's sickness. She was there all along. And it was through she that Job had another set of 10 children. One wife, all along. As we read there, everybody back away from the brother in 19, including his wife. But right here, everybody came back in 42. The Lord bless the brother. The last stage of him was better than before. And he died at a good old age. He died at a good old age. I think the word says he lived, Sister Bennett read it twice. Verse 16. After this, Job lived 140 years. Come on, church. And saw his sons. And sons.
Mm-hmm. And sons.
Yes. Even four generations. Is what I'm saying. So when Job was going through all of this, he was between 60 and 70 years old. And God allowed the Bible to say 200 and odd years.
Mm.
200 and odd years altogether. He lives. To God be the glory for the book of Job. It is here for us. And as we go in there and as we see how this brother went through and become victorious before God, and God brought the captivity of him to an end in verse 10 as we read it. We want to say tonight to all the church, to all of us who are here, if God can do it for Job, he can do it for us.
Amen.
He did it for us, Pastor. He did it for us when he sent his son to set captives free.
Yeah.
And I set at liberty those of us who are doomed. And then I'm just thinking that if he could have had Sarah have a baby when she was 90, 99 or whatever, he did it for Job.
Yeah, sure. Father, we bless your name tonight and thank you. Thank you for the study. It's been a long time, Lord, that we have been looking on this book, the book of Job, and we thank you for what you have revealed to us through it. We thank you that we have become stronger in our faith, in our commitment to you, because we have seen how your servant stood up for you through difficult circumstances. And at the end, you were able to, you blessed him in a way where his friends came back, his family came back, his possession came back, his health came back. And we want to give you the glory and the praise tonight for this experience. We look forward to you, no Lord, that you will help us, give us the faith, so that when we are equally challenged, we will stand up like your servant Job. And you will be glorified. We say thanks to you tonight again for all the brethren who have listened and participated over this period of time. We give you the praise, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.